We turn, however, to the epistle from St. Paul to the Colossians for the text of today's sermon. Giving thanks to God the Father, he writes, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, and hath transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These days, at the end of October, are dark days, and the same must be said of the church and for society. But all of that darkness seems to yield willingly this morning, if only for a day, to the light. And these days of light are days for children, aren't they? Here at church and in the calendar, Christ the King, the procession of the little saints who led us into Mass this morning, and then back at church on Friday for the Holy Day, All Saints' Day, the altars with all glowing with flowers bright and holy light, robed, crowned statues of the saints and of our Lord, the golden vestments of the celebrant, the triumphant music of the choir. If all of this be a dream and dress up and make believe, well, it is matched by the world, isn't it? Halloween and costumes and parties and trick or treat. And is that all that denotes these days? A day, and then you put it away and turn to more serious things than children's play. Is church and its dress for you, your Sunday best, a quaint costume that you get out whenever you manage to make it to Sunday Mass? A dress for ladies who would otherwise be wearing trousers, and for men, that jacket and tie they'd never otherwise put on. Well, not exactly. On days like these at church, what's happening really? The gates of the kingdom swing open, and you and I, wizened old adults, we get to peer in and see that warm and inviting light within, and to hear the price of admission and the ticket. Except you become as little children. You shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But this business of being like little children is more than play, even holy play. St. Joan of Arc was St. Teresa's favorite saint, and she got to dress up as her, not once, but twice in her life as a Carmelite nun of all things. She would compose the plays the convent put on for the special occasions, and twice she did so in honor of Joan of Arc. The first time she got out a biography that had just been published in honor of St. Joan being declared a venerable, the first step before her canonization in 1920. And as she was reading and writing her play, and mind you, she's a teenager, she says that she received one of the greatest graces of her life. And what an exciting life was the life of Joan of Arc, a farm girl who hears heavenly voices, and then goes on, a farm girl, to lead the French army to victory and saves her country. St. Teresa felt, as she read about that, a great desire to imitate those deeds, but also this, it came to her that she was born to glory. Her glory, though, her victories would be her way, little, and hidden, even as Joan's were great and public. She beat the English time after time on her way with the army to Orléans so the king could be anointed and crowned. But eventually, she was betrayed by the Burgundians. Imprisoned in a dungeon, this warrior girl was accused of being a witch. She was put on trial and besieged by trick questions from bought bishops and theologians. And they got her good once. She did indeed fall. But never mind, she died a martyr to her mission. This was her true glory, her virtue, her love, and that faith which gave light even in the dungeon of her own soul's darkness. St. Teresa found a lot in common with St. Joan, I think. She was kind of a sister to her, a companion in her glorious campaign for glory. We would, too, find in the saints consolation, companionship, if we knew them. What do you do with your free time? Our children, if only our children would not only know the saints, they learn about them, and pray to them every day and dress up like them one day of the year, but imitate them every day. Why? Well, children, like them, like the saints, you are made for glory. Maybe the glory of a Joan of Arc, certainly the glory of the little flower. And what they try to give you, the bad guys, the world, in exchange for this God-given glory, is just not worth it. Take it from me. Your Catholic faith, your virtue, these are your glory, your most precious possessions, worth fighting for, not to be shaken off as a chafing comment from mom or dad who are always getting after you, not to be taken off after church like an uncomfortable costume which is too itchy and hot. Your baptismal robe, the sword you got on your confirmation day. These are your daily weapons. There are always some English lurking about who need to be, these are Joan's words, booted out of the country. Sometimes you children give us adults a pretty good example when, these are the words of St. Pius X, who beatified St. Joan, when we are tempted to cowardice and to weakness. He contrasted the timidity, the Pope did, of so many Catholics in our day, in a time when more than ever the chief strength of the wicked lies in the cowardice and the weakness of good men. All the strength of Satan's reign is due to what? To what? To easy-going Catholics, to their weakness. If I might ask the Redeemer, as the prophet Zachary did in spirit, what are these wounds I see in the midst of thy hands? The answer, no doubt, with these was I wounded in the house of them that loved me. I was wounded by my friends, who did nothing to defend me, and who on every occasion made themselves the accomplices of my enemies. And to this reproach, which can be leveled at weak and timid Catholics of all countries, a great number of French Catholics lay themselves open. The French, the Americans too. St. Joan's work was to make Christ reign in her country by driving the invader out and getting the king to the cathedral on time for his crowning. Because that anointing, again the Pope, did homage to the universal kingship of Christ. She was the saint sent to remind the world that Christ must reign, that the politics of power are not all, that one day when he returns in glory, this king of ours will judge, and that all power comes down from heaven to earth. You would have no power over me, the Savior tells Pilate today, were it not given thee from above. Now, the saints are different from each other, like the stars are different in light and in glory. Saint Joan worked with armor and horses and armies to make Christ reign. Saint Teresa with desire and self-mastery and love. For her, it wasn't the battlefield of history. It was the history of a soul. That's what mattered. So that every inch of her, every waking moment, would be all for Jesus and Mary and none of it for Teresa. Nothing whatsoever. She only wore Joan's costume twice, but of course she wore her habit as a nun every day. And her Carmelite scapular, like the baptismal robe of grace, she never took off. There are some things that are meant to stay on. St. Joan, incidentally, you know, is a good patroness of modern dress. The irony is this. She dressed as a man, as a soldier, which she was, not to attract the admiring gaze of men, but to protect her purity from men. This was the pretext for her final condemnation to the fire, you know. St. Teresa herself, when she played St. Joan, almost caught on fire. Someone was a little careless with the props at the play, and the little lamp that had a live flame was a little too close to St. Teresa. And her sister, her bigger sister, Pauline, who was a superior, said, "Don't move." And so she didn't. She stood there just like that the whole time till she was safe. The devil is always complicating the simple instructions we receive, and he's always complicating and confusing things, but we serve the King of Kings, and that's all that matters. On this feast day, children point the way. On this feast day, children join the altars in preaching the sermon, those lessons of which Christianity, our feeble faith, are most in need. It is not this business of church, a day of dress up and of fantasy. The real world waits for us tomorrow. There's no Sunday faith versus a Monday faith, as the modernists would like to have it. No, he, Jesus Christ, is our King, and our faith is our armor, which, like the scapular, is not going anywhere. The world wants it, though. It grabs for it. It wants you and your children. But what can it offer in exchange? What an ignoble replacement it proffers. And we? No, never. Worthy is the Lamb who has made us worthy to be partakers already, St. Paul says, of the lot of the saints in light. and he has transformed us into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. You were made for glory. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.